I'm an addict. My name's Dave. I've never done this before. Well, that's not true. I have shared before, so that's what this is going to be about. It's the topic that was given to me was taking an inventory. And when I heard it, I was told that you can pick a different one if you want. And I thought, well, that one sounds all right for some reason. That seems to resonate. And I was thinking about it, of course, for the last couple weeks. What am I going to talk about? Inventory. Before I got to this program, the only inventory I ever took was work-related, counting things once a month, and I hated it. And it seems like after I got into the program and started reading it, and it's mentioned quite a bit in our literature, inventory. And I realized it's not an easy thing to do, to take a personal inventory. It makes me feel uncomfortable at times. At least it used to when I was new and I was trying to do what was suggested and I was paying attention and working on a step four. I felt very uncomfortable. And I didn't do it a lot. You know, you do it when you have to. Write it down is a good idea, so I did. Then I shared my step five, and my sponsor didn't say anything while I was sharing. For about an hour, hour and a half, I was yapping away. When I was done, I said, I'm finished. He looked at me and he says, you got to go deeper, Dave. And I thought to myself, don't tell me something I already know. I know I should have gone deeper, and I know it's, if I want any real benefits out of doing the 12 steps and being in recovery, then I have to pay attention to what I'm thinking and what I'm doing. Like most of the time. And I had a habit from early on in my life, as far back as I can remember. I don't know, I think you'd call it ADHD now or something, but I was always zoned out, always. Wasn't paying attention. I figured if I didn't pay attention, then I wouldn't get into trouble. I didn't have to answer for anything. I'd just do my thing. But, you know, just to get into the program, the first step I read, right, was, like, I read them all. I was, my first meeting, I'm reading them on the wall. I thought, well, that's easy. Like, how hard is that? 12 steps, 12 things that they read really easy to me, right? Nothing to it. This will be a snap. And then I started looking at how I ended up at a 12-step meeting. What the hell? I never expected that, right? I used to party with some older dudes all the time, and there was one old guy that I saw him walking down the sidewalk one morning, and he had pissed himself. And I was driving by, and there's no way I was going to stop and give him a ride, that's for sure. But I thought to myself, you know, that guy should go to AA or something, man. Look at him, he's just a mess. Yet the night before I was partying with him, but I hadn't pissed myself. So how did I end up here? Well, that's a story all on its own. I was well, I was seeing this young lady, and she was quite a bit younger than me and way more messed up than I was, I figured. And she phoned me one night in the middle of the night, like 3 a.m, looking for some substance that she wanted and I didn't have. I wouldn't have given her any even if I did. And I said, phone up Bobby, he'll help you out. And the reason I said that was because Bobby had told me a couple days earlier that he was going to meetings now. And he suggested I should come with him, and I told him where to go. But I thought, well, this will piss them both off, right? So in the morning, he phones me up and he says, guess who called me last night? And I said, yeah, I figured she would. So did you help her out? He says, yeah, I'm taking her to a meeting on Wednesday. I said, oh, wow. So I knew what he was all about. I partied with him for 20 years, right? He was a pussy hound, and she was a sausage queen. So I thought, that's it, I'm going to this, I'm following them. I'm going to show up there, right? See what's going on. I didn't trust either one of them, so there I was. And there's one person here that was at that meeting. Probably could be a few more, but I was asked to share, and the topic was honesty, and I said, I honestly don't want to say nothing right now. But the next week, I went to a meeting by myself for some reason. I didn't know why. I heard something there that set something off at me. Maybe there is something. Maybe I do have a problem. I didn't see it as a problem back then. I just saw it as part of who I was. This is what I do as often as I can. I like to get high. But I went to that meeting a week later by myself. I parked a block away. It was in a church basement. I had these magnetic signs on a company truck. I took them off, threw them in the back seat. I didn't want anybody to see me there for some reason, right? And I hated that meeting, man. And this old guy came up to me and he says, you didn't seem to like this one. By what I shared, I guess I told him how much I didn't like this meeting or something, right? The old guy came up and gave me a meeting list. He said, try some of these out. Maybe you'll like them more. So I did. And it took me like a month before I finally found one that I liked. And I made it my home group. And it was in Narcotics Anonymous. It was here in Edmonton at the Mustard Seed Church. And it was a great meeting. It had Friday midnighter and Saturday noon. I'd hit them both all the time. Yeah, so getting back to the inventory thing, right? It's all about, and I understood, like, we're not stupid people. We know what we should be doing, or we know what's suggested if we can read or listen. You got to look within and see what's going on. And if you're feeling messed up, take a look at it. Very uncomfortable to do, right? So I didn't. I didn't do it for a long, long time, right? I did service work. It was a nice smoking meeting, my home group, so I cleaned up the ashtrays and made the coffee and handed out pamphlets. And then one day I was picking up the pamphlets afterwards, because very few people would put them on the little round tables. It was like an old lounge we were in there, right? And I was picking up these pamphlets. I said, anyone want this pink one? I'd never read them. I was like 6 months clean. I hadn't read a pamphlet. And it was self-acceptance. Wow. I think it's the pink one. Anyway, I took it home and I read it. And that was me. They were talking about me there. How I used to feel. How I still felt. How it affected me. My relationships. Yeah, never very good at relationships. I think I got it down pat now. Just don't get into any serious ones. Yeah, serious relationship is like, there's too many opportunities for failure there, right? And from a young age, I learned that if you do something wrong, it's painful. Very painful. Are you waving at me?
Yeah. Can you just talk a little louder and a little closer to the mic?
Sorry. I've been told that I talk too quiet. I tell my sponsor that's because most people aren't going to get what I say anyway, right? So, okay, I will. Where was I? Oh, yeah, self-acceptance pamphlet, yeah. So that was like the first time I read any literature, right? Other than the readings on the wall. And it made a lot of sense to me. And then my first year cake, somebody wrote on there, lost dreams awaken, new possibilities rise. I said to the guy, where did you find that? That's pretty profound. He says, it's in the basic text. Maybe you should read it. That was at a year clean, right? Hadn't read the basic text yet. But I figured I was doing better than I was before. You know, I was staying clean, hanging out with some interesting people for sure. You know, I've got two kids, right? And they were 8 and 10 when I cleaned up. So unfortunately, I missed their formative years when I could have done something right, possibly. And it was tough on them. Yeah, I think it was tougher on them in my early recovery than it was when I was using, because when I was never around them when I was using. When I got them, I try to behave myself for the most part. But when I cleaned up and I had them all the time, well, quite a bit. I was lucky enough to have my kids a lot, and I was difficult to be around, to say the least. Take the drugs away and the addict appears, right? Yeah. It was difficult for them. But we're still talking today, so that's a good thing. We get along all right. So when I realized that maybe I do belong in a 12-step program, Narcotics Anonymous was the one I liked because it kind of covered everything, and I definitely had more than one issue. So I stayed around. It was easy for me to figure out that, okay, I kind of fit in here. Even if I haven't done all the things that everyone else has done, I still fit. My sponsor used to say, NA has a tool to fit every nut. You know, it works for everybody. Whether you just have some mental issues, emotional problems, physical addictions, it doesn't matter, it'll help if you hang around. And you actually do more than just hang around, right? But you can get by just hanging around. I did for years. But when you're by yourself and you're thinking about what's really going down, you know. You're either changing or you're not. I know I was getting older. Just look in the mirror, right? That was obvious, but was the inside stuff changing? And most of the time, when I came up, when I was honest with myself, it wasn't. It was on the surface. It was occasionally. Sometimes I would react differently than I used to. But most of the time, when I took an inventory of myself, no. Time alone did nothing for me other than I got old. I was lucky, though. I was hanging out with people that were doing more than just the surface shit. They were taking a look at themselves. they were open-minded enough to try different things, to get outside help, to read other literature. So I listened to them, I took suggestions, and it helped. It's definitely not a quick fix in this program, for me anyway. It wasn't. I've seen some people come in messed up, and then like a year later they look like they're normal, right? And they sound healthy and they look happy, and I believe they are. Some people recover quicker than others. And it's not necessarily because they're harder workers or anything. They just got it. They figured it out. They had enough. Some of us are more damaged than others. I was at a meeting this week, and there was a young fellow sharing there, and he was very enthusiastic about what he had to say. And he carried on past the time he was supposed to, and he wouldn't stop. You guys got to hear this. You need to hear this, he was saying, right? And I was thinking, well, how I was reacting was different than how I used to react. I would have been pissed off and shut up, right? You've gone on for long enough. At least in my mind, I would have been thinking that. And I was thinking, I hope this guy comes back at the end if there's time. Because I want to hear this. I got to hear this. He's very enthusiastic. Maybe it'll help. Who knows? So I was a little more compassion there, right? I wasn't mad at him. I kind of felt for him, which is a change, right? I was always about, you know, this is okay if it helps me. If it's not doing me any good, I don't want to hear about it. But when I go to a meeting, I usually hear something that helps me because I can listen better now than I used to, right? Which is a blessing. Sometimes I go to the mode where I just automatically respond with a sarcastic remark. I don't know where that came from, right? Ever since I can remember, I've been good at sarcasm, at least as far as I'm concerned. And then I had this girlfriend once in recovery. She said, you know, sarcasm is the worst form of anger. What the fuck does that mean? I'm not angry. I'm just trying to push your buttons a little bit here, right? I'm having fun. What do you mean? I'm not angry. You know, she said that, so eventually I took a look at it. What? Maybe she's right. Why do I do that automatically? Without thinking. Just another thing I have to do, take a look at, right? Pay attention to. So then I realized that, okay, you're a member when you say you are, right? And I believe I qualify, so what's the next step here? Well, this higher power thing, right? It talks about a higher power. I was forced to pray when I was a little kid, so I believe there's a God there, and I better pray or things are going to get worse. So it wasn't that I didn't believe there was a higher power or a God. It's just that I cleaned up at 40. And I was always focused on the negative shit that had happened in those 40 years. There was some positive stuff too, but I like to focus on the negative. And I thought, why would this God help me now? He hasn't in the first 40 years of my life. What's the big deal? Just because I quit getting high, everything's going to change? Jesus. And then I heard somebody share at a nooner that they were having a problem with step two. I said, fuck, so am I. And then she said, my sponsor pointed it out that it doesn't say we have to believe in a higher power that will restore us to sanity.
It says that we believe that of higher power could restore us to sanity, right?
I said, well, that's...
I can go with that. I believe that anything's possible. Probably won't happen, but anything's possible. So I was okay with that, because really, when I thought about it, I didn't like this idea of wishing and hoping and praying. I had done some of that in my using days, and it didn't seem to work for me very much. But it could. I believe that it could. I could be restored to sanity. When I heard that, when I read that step, I thought, restored to sanity? I'm not fucking insane. Most of the people in here are, I agree. But I'm not insane. And then I looked it up, and it said a state of being emotionally healthy. Oh, shit. I couldn't deny that I was not emotionally healthy. Okay, let's go on to step three. And that was an interesting one, too. Like, you know, when I first read them, that first meeting, they seemed easy, all those steps. And then you get into it. That's not so easy anymore. You got to read what it says and then acknowledge how you think about what it says. Well, I'm lazy, man. Like this, the more I get into this program, I was thinking that the harder it seems. Like there's a lot of work here, a lot of effort. And I was never good at putting in a lot of effort. I figured, well, if I don't try, or if I don't show up for that exam, well, I'm not going to flunk it, right? I just get a no-show on there, right? I'm not going to fail. I had a fear of failure big time. And I know where it comes from. It comes from my early childhood days. Plain and simple, when I did something wrong, there was consequences. And they weren't pleasant. You know, that's just the way it was. I wasn't any worse off than any of my friends, it didn't seem like. They're all get the same stuff. It was back in those days where, my old man, he could take his belt off in about 2 seconds. I couldn't believe it. How do you get that unbuckled and off that quick? Incredible. Yeah, he had a temper. So, I kind of made a decision to give this program a chance. And the only thing I really did to give it a chance was I didn't use it anymore. I quit hanging out in the bars. When I was brand new, I used to still go to the pubs. That was a bad idea. So I quit going there. I hung out with my recovery friends, right? I still see some of the old buddies from the 30 years ago, and they're still my friends. But they're not as significant in my life as my recovery friends are, right? The people I've met since I cleaned up are... Well, we all have friends like that that mean the world to us. So I kept coming around, turning my will and my life over. That wasn't very easy, but I did the best I could, that's all. I just did the best I could. And then I looked at that fourth step, where you got to do a searching and fearless. Well, I was full of fear. How am I going to do a fearless anything, right? I'm full of fear, man. Searching, I don't mind looking for stuff if I want to find it. And a moral inventory. Oh, that turned me off too, right? Fucking moral. Oh, God. But I started writing stuff. Skimming the surface. Every once in a while, I'd dig a little deeper. I don't know if I'm going to share that with anybody, right? But it was important to write it down. I think I was 2 years clean before I finally did a fourth and fifth. Yeah, it was like my sponsor said, you got to go deeper, Dave. I said, well, yeah, I'll do that the next set of steps. I'll go deeper. I just carried on. I was clean. You know, I was racking up some time, but it was insufficient still. I was still looking for something. Still felt that I was missing something in my life, or still searching for something, right? That was gonna, I don't know, just make me feel okay. I just want to feel okay. I don't want to feel fucked up. But there's always something, right? Always something coming up that causes issues or problems, or you got to work on this, you got to work on that. Life isn't easy. But I just wanted to get to the point where when the shit hits the fan, I'll be able to handle it without losing my shit. And slowly things seemed to get better in that area. I was on a job site in recovery. And these two contractors were, it was a drywaller. I got nothing against drywallers, but these guys, they were special. And they were going at it, just yelling at each other, nose to nose with this, with the site foreman, man. They were just screaming. I thought, holy fuck. Well, I don't want the drywaller to get beat up, because then who's going to drywall for us, right? So I got right in between them. I said, hey, guys, quietly. I said, you guys just got to relax and step back and maybe go have a coffee or something. Just chill out a little bit. And one of the young guys comes up to me right away and says, how did you do that anyway? I said, what? Well, just quietly get them to stop. I said, I'm not sure how that happened. Usually, you know, in the past, I would have probably hit one of them. But things were changing, right? And I thought, oh, yeah, that is true. How did I do that? I didn't get upset. I just kind of thought about what's best for me again. You guys got to get back to work here, right? I can chill out. And that was cool, right? It was cool. So things were changing for me slowly, and I was aware of it every once in a while. But the things that didn't change stood out more. My fears, you know, the anxieties, the occasional outbursts of temper, the desire to hurt people come back once in a while. And I just brushed them off. Oh, well. It's like I used to think before I cleaned up, well, it's the way I am is hereditary. I'm just like my old man, who was just like his old man. I knew my grandfather, what he was like. I said, it just runs in the family. That's it. What am I going to do? Can't change that. But you can change it. And I realized it because I was experiencing change slowly and things were moving along. I was still making bad decisions, even though, you know, I'd put some thought into them before. Well, I think I'll try this. Didn't work. Lost money. But I was thinking about it. I thought, yeah, well, what did I do wrong there? A lot of the times I just go along with what's suggested. You know, I don't want to cause any problems. I'll go with that. That way I don't have to take full responsibility. I don't have to do a whole lot of thinking about really what would be best for me right now. I'll just go with the flow. And sometimes what's fair for them is not fair for me. People are the way they are, right? We like to look after ourselves. We are self-centered. So now I try to think about what I'm saying and how it's going to affect others. Once in a while, I think that way anyway. When I was new, I was at my home group. And the chairperson at this meeting was, he used to share a little bit in between each person's share, maybe just for a minute or so, 30 seconds. And I thought, yeah, I kind of like that. Until the one time he shared after I shared. And I thought I was doing all right. I couldn't remember exactly what I said. Or he said, you know, when you're up there sharing, you have to be aware and conscious of what's coming out of your mouth. So maybe possibly it might help somebody, right? Fuck, what did I say? Obviously it was nothing very good, right? Which, when you're new, when I listen to newcomers share now, like really new people, like a day or two or a week or two, I'm thinking, wow. Yeah, they're totally self-centered. It's all about them. And that's the way I was, too. It was all about me. I ended up coming to this program because I didn't trust a couple friends. And I ended up realizing that, I'm all messed up. And I want to talk about it, which is great. Like, I never talked to anybody about it. I attempted suicide once when I was about 19. I ended up in the hospital, and I left in the middle of the night, pulled the lines out, and I left. And I never talked to anybody about it for 20-some years. Never mentioned it to anybody. The only people that knew about it were the nurses in this hospital, and it was a small town, right? So probably everybody knew about it. But I never talked to anybody about it. And then 20 years later, I'm feeling suicidal again, still using, and I'm thinking, wow, 20 years have gone by, nothing's changed, except I was still dating 20-year-olds, but still. I was 40 now. And you know, I didn't seem, by my actions, to care what anyone else thought about me. Because I just did my thing in a small town, and I didn't care what anybody thought. But really, I was always concerned about what other people thought about me. What they were thinking, what they were saying. But I just used to deal with those fears, I just get loaded, be high most of the time. Yeah, after that searching and fearless moral inventory I had to go deeper on. You know, you get to that share your step four with your sponsor. He doesn't give me a good job, Dave. So, okay, I guess I flunked that one. I'll go to step six. That was difficult. Do I really want to get rid of everything? He used to talk about what we need, what most people in these rooms need, you included, me included, he'd say, is a personality change. Wow. Need a personality change. What does that mean, right? Who am I going to be? Well, are you just going to wipe the slate clean and I got to start all over again? I don't know if I can get into the formative years again, try to do something positive with the way I see myself. And he says, well, you know, it just, facts are facts, right? We ended up here because we're messed up. We're all here because we're not all there. I used to like that one. I agreed with it. Yeah, that makes sense. So we're messed up. What are we going to do about it? We don't have to do anything about it. And we can stay clean for years and still not do anything about it. But, wow, that's painful, man. Like, if you don't have anything to take the pain away when you realize how fucked you are, then you just sit in the pain. And I chose not to get high anymore, right? So now what? Well, I did lots of reading. I was searching for I want the quick fix, man. I want the answer. I don't want to suffer anymore. What can I do? Well, I did lots of reading, lots of listening. One time I went on a 10-day silent retreat. Holy shit, man. I tried to escape on the 9th night, right? I went to start my truck. It was quite a ways away, but I had the remote start. My battery was dead. Fuck. I got to stay another day. And it was not just a silent retreat. It was sitting for like 10 hours a day on your ass doing the meditation thing, right? Oh, wow. I thought I was going crazier than I was before. So finally, when it's over, I go up to one of the facilitators and said, hey, I need a boost. My truck, my battery's dead. I need a boost to go home. He says, yeah, I'll give you a boost as soon as you help me clean up. So I was cleaning up for 4 hours, and then I got to go home, right? Yeah, that's okay. Interesting. But I did read a lot of stuff that helped. While I was reading it, I felt really good while I was reading it. Yeah, this makes sense. This will work. I understand this shit, yeah. And then 10 minutes later, I forget all about it and react the same old way, right? So I was reading, getting ready for sharing on inventory. I was reading my old basic text. And there's a lot of good shit in there, man, that I hadn't picked up for quite a while. My basic text, I forgot it outside one day years ago, and it got rained on, so it looks like I really use it a lot. There's tape on it, and everything, stickers holding it together, but I was reading it, and I had underlined some things because I think it was before the highlighters came out. That's how old this thing is, right? I just underlined interesting passages, and well, there's some neat shit in there, written by a bunch of addicts. They must have had their shit together, finally, before they wrote that down, right? Because I agreed with a lot of it in there. I don't agree with everything that's written in there, but most of it makes sense to me. You know, I used to hear, well, that you got to change everything. The only thing you got to change is everything. And then my sponsor, don't worry about that, changing everything. He pointed out in the basic text, where it's written in the black, he says, written. There's only two things you can change, how you see yourself and how you react. Well, that sounded better. Two things is better than everything, right? Okay, how do I see myself? Oh, shit. Oh, God. Okay, listen, how do I react? That's not very good either, right? So, yeah, I've got a lot of work to do. I still do. Just ask the guys I work with. Yeah, sometimes I feel like I'm the same person I was 30 years ago. But I'm reminded on a regular basis because as you get old, you have to pee a lot, and I go to the bathroom. There's a mirror there, right? Oh, I'm not the same guy that I used to be. Look at this old, who's this old bastard? So, it's interesting. In one of the books I was reading, I read this passage. It says, no one will make much of their lives until self-searching becomes a regular habit, until we honestly accept and admit what we find until we patiently and persistently try to correct what is wrong. I thought, yeah, that makes sense to me, self-searching. And it was in some self-help book or something, right? So I Googled it. Where's this passage come from? Well, it comes from the 12-step program, step 10. Oh, That guy stole it from a 12-step program, this author that I was reading his book, right? That's interesting. But I agree with that self-searching must become a regular habit. If we just carry on without paying attention to how we're thinking and how we're acting, then nothing's going to change, except we're going to get old and die, and on our deathbed, oh, I wish I would have done more. I wish I would have went deeper. So I do the best I can at paying attention to my thoughts. Sometimes I set aside parts of the day just to do that, just to see how I'm doing. Who have I been sarcastic to today? Do I owe any amends? Most of the amends I owe are to myself, because I sell myself short. I know I'm short, but I sell myself short in other ways as well. Being short is okay when you're on an airplane, for sure. I don't mind that at all. And then right in the basic text I read, it says, we must constantly review our feelings and thoughts if we were to stay enthusiastic and grow spiritually. Well, that's doing an inventory, constantly reviewing your feelings and thoughts. Do you want to stay enthusiastic? Do you want to grow spiritually? Sure you do, even if you don't know if you'd want to. It's definitely better than what it's been or could be. When I was asked if I wanted to share today, I said, I'll think about it. And I did think about it. And it was pretty simple, really. I thought it would do me more good than harm. And I know for sure there's one person that's going to be helped from me sharing today, and that's me. And, you know, we're way too hard on ourselves. We take better care of our pets than we do ourselves, more concerned about their health than we are our own, what they eat. They got to get their exercise. They need to be groomed. But we have a hard time looking after us. I have a hard time looking after myself. I have to force myself sometimes. Still. So just getting old in recovery doesn't mean you're going to get healthier and get well. But you can. And you don't have to wait a long time. It's not a lifelong thing, right? You can get well and live your life well. Be happy. And most of the people that I see that are doing well are helping others. I don't do a whole lot of that. I do some, but I see people that are involved in service, and they're doing well. You know, and that's a good thing. I was involved in service for quite a while in H&I. Like, I was the literature person there. I used to get the pamphlets and stamp them and hand them out, go to the institutions, and I did it for too long. You know, you're supposed to pass that stuff on, and I did it for too long. I had my daughters helping me stamp pamphlets for years. They hated it once a week. I said, come on. So I think that's the key, really, right? The bottom line is helping others. That's what I've been told, that's what I read, it's about helping others. And by doing so, even if you don't feel like helping anybody, if you help others, you feel better yourself and you get healthier. You start to see yourself differently. And you start to react differently. And that's what it's all about. Like, we didn't end up here because we thought we were perfect and everyone else was messed up. No, we knew deep down inside that we were the main cause of our problems. When you're young kids and you can't do anything about it, it's not your fault. I realized that for me to be okay, I needed to love myself. I thought, how am I going to love someone that I hate? How do you do that? How do you learn to love yourself when you can't even stand yourself, right? Well, then I must have read something where I was probably reading a book on how to do it, because I didn't have a lot of flashes come to me naturally, right? But I realized that, okay, if I'm going to love myself, I have to stop hating myself. If I'm going to stop hating anybody that I hate, I have to forgive them. Well, how do I forgive myself for ending up being the person that I am, that I couldn't stand? So I accepted the fact that it wasn't all my fault, the way I came to be. The formative years are formative, and I ended up being one of those, what do they call them? Oversensitive egomaniacs with an inferiority complex. That was me. Very afraid, very angry. That's how I reacted to fear. Lash out. And once I realized and was acknowledging the fact that it wasn't all my fault, it takes a little bit of a load off, right? Now I can move forward and do that. Another inventory list, that's step 8. Holy shit. That was hard too. God damn it. Why is it so difficult? Again, I'm just lazy. But I wrote everything down, that everyone that I could remember. Well, there was lots of people. I could just remember what they looked like. I didn't remember their names. I didn't never knew their names, right? I put him on the list. That guy I smashed with the beer bottle on the street there, and I don't know who he was. And then I remembered to put myself on the list. And then made it as direct demands as possible. And that helped. That was scary. There's a few of them that I didn't know if I was going to get a shot in the head or not. But I didn't. It was good. And that step 10, continue to take that inventory. When we're wrong, admit it. Again, most of the time, the one I owe amends to is to myself. Right, for getting frustrated, angry, lazy, procrastinating. I got this fence in my backyard that it's ancient, man, and it's fallen over, and I got it propped up, and it's been like that for years. I'm thinking, why don't I just put a new fence in? So this year I hired someone to put a new fence in. That works too for some things. Unfortunately, I can't hire someone to get rid of all my stuff that I'm still dealing with. But it's less and less all the time. But I do believe that paying attention, self-searching, write it down if you want, not necessary all the time, just be aware of how you're thinking, whether you're doing stuff that's helping you or hurting you. You would never hurt your dog, but you hurt yourself all the time. Why is that? Dog never did anything to you. And we've always, you know, we've done a lot of harm to ourselves, but we don't need to anymore. We've hurt enough, suffered enough. We can be kind to ourselves and to others. And, just do the best we can. That's all we can do, right? I don't like that word, try. I might try. I'm going to try to do it. You're either going to do it or you're not, right? I'll do the best I can to get it done on a consistent basis, and that's all we can do. So thank you for being here. Thanks for asking me to share.